Sa araw na ito ay pag-usapan po natin ang paksa, the power of personal testimony. Ang kapangyarihan ng isang personal na patutuo. Ito po ay ating pinag-aaralan o dinaraanan sa atin po ang disciple makers training. You know, at pinukaw ng Lord yung aking damdamin. Hindi pa po ako nakapag-mensahe ng ganitong mensahe. Yung tungkol sa patutuo. Tungkol sa pagpapatutuo. Tungkol sa pagdedeklara na kung sino si Kristo. Sino siya sa atin noon, sino siya sa atin ngayon, sino siya sa ating hinaharap. At gusto ko po na magsimula sa Revelation chapter 12 at verse 11. Dito ko gusto tayong magsimula. Revelation 12 and 11 sa English po ay, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death." Sa Tagalog po, nagtagumpay ang mga ito laban sa Diablo sa pamamagitan ng dugo ng kordero at ang kanilang pagsaksi sa katotohanan. In other words, pagpatotoo sapagkat hindi nila pinanghinayangan ang kanilang buhay. And so Revelation 12 and verse 1 tells us that there is power in testimony. Merong kapangyarihan sa isang Kristiyanong patotoo. If you are a true Christian, you have a Christian testimony. Nawa, tayong mga nag-aangkin na tunay na Kristiyano ay maaring mag-aangkin ng isang patotoong Kristiyano na mula sa Panginoon. You have experienced the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tayong lahat, naway nakaangkin. Yes, naranasan ko yung bumabagong kapangyarihan ng Ebanghelyo ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Nang aking marinig na ito ay pinangaral at sinare sa akin, naramdaman ko yon. Maring dramatic, maring hindi dramatic, pero ganun man yung kapangyarihan ng Ebanghelyo ay bumago sa ating buhay. And also, if you have been a Christian long enough, chances are you have also faced situations that were seeming impossible. O hindi na seeming, kundi impossible na talaga. Kung matagal na kayong Kristiyano ay nakaranas na rin kayo ng mga pagkakataon na pangyayari sa inyong buhay na tila imposible ninyong malampasan o malusutan. You have experienced God's awesome work of deliverance in each of those situations. Marami makakapagpatotoo sa atin that we were in a dire situation. Everything was dark. Everything was impossible. We didn't know, you know, how it's going to be resolved. Where the solution will come from, how it's going to come, how the Lord will deliver us. Pero alam ko na, alam natin, naranasan natin at nakalagpas tayo doon sa mga sitwasyon na yun. That could have been a sickness, could have been a terrible problem within, the husband and wife's relationships, could have been a financial problem, could have been a problem at school or at work, or it could have been a terrible accident, no? Na kung saan parang wala na. Ito na talaga, hindi na natin alam kung ano. But yet, today, we can testify of the power of God and that loving kindness of the Lord na naranasan natin sa mga pagkakataon yun. Testimonies are powerful because they are manifestations of the truth of God's Word. Ang patotoo ay makapangyarihan sapagkat sila ay kapahayagan, tangible na kapahayagan, ng katotohanan ng salita ng Panginoon. Where the Word of God declare how God is like this and like that, nararanasan natin yon sa ating buhay. That God is not late, God is not ahead, you know, but God is always on time. You know, I always, when I say this, I'm always reminded by the fact that when Jesus was called, you know, he was given notice that Lazarus was sick. You know, he came 4 days after when Lazarus was dead. No, he came 4 days after, and yet Jesus was not late. He was not late. He was just in time. Why? Because he was in the will of God. Sometimes we think that God was late. Sometimes we think, oh, nilaglag ako ni Lord, or wala si Lord doon. But never will it happen that God is never on time. God will never be late. He will be on time. Just in the time when you needed Him the most, God will be there. He will show up. Makikita natin yung kanyang kapangyarihan. So, ang mga testimonies ay nagko-confirm ng mga promises ng God. Sila ay nagpapatotoo ng mga patotoo ng Diyos sa ating buhay. Ganon ang kanilang trabaho sa atin. They bear witness of the truth of God's Word. God's Word in us was tested and faith triumphed. The Word of God in us was tested and faith triumphed. As we remain steadfast and hang on the promise of God, faith triumphed. At meron tayong patotoo na kung saan ay nangyari ang mga bagay nito. The impossibilities remain possibilities until they were done by the power of God. Ulitin ko po yun, ang mga imposible na natiling mga posibilidad hanggang sa dumating ang tugon ng Panginoon. And when they were done, we call it sometimes miracles. But when we are done, we call them testimonies of God's greatness upon our life. Look at you today. You know, and remind of yourself of your past. How you were wallowing in the mire of sin. Kung paano tayo naglilimahod doon sa dumi ng kasalanan. But look at us today, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Changed from glory to another glory. We are so different today because of the gospel. We are so different today because God did what He promised to do to us. Ginawa ng Diyos, ano ipinangako niya na gagawin niya sa at sa ating buhay. Binago niya tayo ang ating buong pagkatao. Ang ating pag-iisip, ang ating pananalita, ang ating kaanyuan, binago ng Panginoon. Hinugasan niya tayo sa kasalanan at ito ang ating patotoo. Ito ang ating testimony. We call them testimonies, the miracles of God. Yung mga pagbabagong ginawa ng Diyos, tawag po natin doon, ay mga patotoo. Let's look at a definition of the word testimony from the dictionary. The word testimony is defined as a declaration of truth or fact. Ito ay kapahayagan ng isang katotohanan o kaganapan. An evidence testifying to something. Isang ebidensya na nagpapatotoo sa isang bagay. Or legally, sa legal parlance, an evidence given by a witness, especially under an oath or affirmation. Isang pagbibigay katibayan ng isang saksi, lalo na mayroon pang kasamang panunumpa. Di ba? Pinanunumpa sila sa batas. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says of the apostles, and with great power the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This is a literal version Bible. And with great power the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And King James, New King James, and other versions of the Bible uses the word witness. They gave witness. To give a witness is to give a testimony. So the apostles who gave testimony of the resurrection were telling others what they have seen, what they have heard, and what they have touched. You know, that's the power of their testimony. What we say to you, we experienced. We saw it. We saw Him. You know, we touched Him. We heard Him speak to us. He ate with us. He dined with us. Jesus died. He was buried. And He rose back to life. And we tell you the truth, that it is true. We were there. We saw it. We heard it. We touched Him. And that was a powerful testimony of the apostles. Now, a personal Christian testimony, Abby, we have that. A personal Christian testimony is the narrative of a person, of how a person came to know the Lord Jesus Christ by God's divine intervention or work through a specific event. Ang isang personal na Kristiyanong patotoo ay isang kasaysayan o kwento kung paano ang isang tao ay nakakilala sa Panginoong Hesus sa pamamagitan ng pagkilos ng Diyos sa mga espesipikong pangyayari. Paano kayo na-born again? Paano tayo nakakilala sa ating Panginoon? And I'd like to center our discussion on that. but not limited to that. I know that testimony is not just limited to having, you know, the testimony of how we became born again, but it all includes other things, all many and difficult life situations where Christians experience God's mighty work of deliverance. Kasama yun, of course. Pero dahil po tayo nag-retool, tayo nag-sharpen ng ating ability to evangelize and also to make disciples, dahil po pong bigyan ng diin, ng kaunti, yung ating pong pagpapatotoo tungkol sa pagbabagong ginawa ni Kristo nang tayo makakilala sa Kanya. Let me say this, only true Christians can give a Christian testimony. Tanging ang mga tunay na Kristiyano lamang ang maaaring magbigay ng Kristiyanong patotoo. Sila lang yung makakapagsabi na nakilala ko ang Panginoon. Nalaman ko yung kanyang sinasabi tungkol sa akin. Only true Christians, only born again ones, yung mga nakakilala sa ating Panginoong Jesus sa gayong paraan, sa liwanag ng salita ng Diyos, sila lamang ang maaaring magpatotoo may nangyari sa aking buhay. Nobody can do that. No unconverted ones can do that. Hindi magagawa ito ng sinumang tao na religyoso. O kaya ay umaattend lang sa church. Pero walang conversion experience. By conversion experience, I would mean, hindi siya na born again. Hindi yan naintindihan yung ebanghelyo. Because we know that a Christian is one who has received forgiveness for sin by trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So receive that forgiveness. Nalaman mo at alam mo, meron kang assurance sa pinatawad ka ng Diyos na ikaw ay anak na ng Diyos. Only you can make that Christian testimony. And that is powerful. Nobody can deny us of that right to say that Jesus changed our life. Walang pwedeng sino mang pumigil sa atin at maaari magpasabali sa atin at sabihin sa atin, hindi totoo yan. Bakit? Because we experienced how it is to be born again. We knew how it was, you know, in the past, our life, however religious we were. Minsan sinasabi natin, hindi ako pwede magpapatotoo, Pastor, kasi wala naman ako nung katulad nung nangyari. Doon sa iba, narinig ko yung iba, ang sama-sama nila, ganito sila, ganoon sila. You know? Hindi ako pwede magpatotoo. But surely, we're all sinners. Meron at meron tayo maaaring ipatotoo. And in that regard also, when you think about it, you come to think about it, Jesus did not have the testimony too. Si Jesus mismo, walang patotoo at pwede sabihin na, masama ako dati. Pero nakakilala ko sa Panginoon. And yet, His testimony was given by the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had to rely on the testimony of someone else's. And that's His Father God. Tayo, dahil tayo ay makasalanan talaga, alam natin. Gaano man ako kareliyoso nung araw, alam ko, at the moment when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all my righteousness were nothing as filthy rags unto the Lord. I knew it. Alam ko nung gabi iyon na narinig yung ebanghelyo na pinangaral sa akin. Naunawaan ko, it is not by the works of man. It is not because of my goodness. It's not what I have done in the name of for God that I will be saved. But it is what Jesus had done for me. It's Jesus what had done on the cross for me and for us. Ay, inindihan ko po yun. At tinanggap ko na ako ay mali at walang karapatang umangkin sa langit maliba na dumaan kay Jesus. But unless I go through the Lord Jesus, who said that He is the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through Him. I understood that very clearly for the first time in my life. Naintindihan ko, and all of the sudden, lahat ng aking pagmamalaki, lahat ng aking pagkukumpisal sa pari, lahat ng aking pagrosaryo, lahat ng paggawa ko ng kabutihan sa mga pulubes, suddenly nag-disintegrate. And there were nothing before the Lord. Nothing as compared to what Jesus had done for me. And what Jesus had done for us is that He hung on the cross, not because He was a sinner, but because of us. because of His love for all of us, because He wanted us to be with Him for eternity. And the book of Hebrews says that in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for that joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. He despised the shame. He set aside the shame, the embarrassment, that while He was hanging on the cross, He took it upon Himself. He who created everything, siya na lumalang na lahat ng mga bagay. You know, He contained Himself in that flesh. I'm not going to use my power because I love you. I need to stay here while others were mocking at Him and saying, you who said you're going to destroy the temple and rebuild it after 3 days, come down, come down, come down. There was this relentless, continuing temptation coming from the devil. You come down. But Jesus chose to stay there. He fastened Himself on that, you know, excruciating, painful cross, because He knew that He needed to stay there and die. And that's because of you and me. Now we come to the point when the gospel, this gospel, is preached to us. He said to His disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And then He baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. What did the disciples do? They testified. They testified of who Jesus was. They testified of what their lives were before they met the Lord Jesus. And Jesus confirmed their word. Jesus confirmed the truth of what they were preaching with many signs and wonders, according to Mark chapter 16. 3 things I'd like to share about this. Our personal testimony will defeat the enemy. Who doesn't like that? We want to defeat the enemy. Revelation 12, 11 again, it says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the power of His, and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives. So there are 2 weapons given to us here. There are other weapons of warfare somewhere in other parts of the scripture, but here we have 2. One is we have the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not know about you. You know, but I invoke the blood of the Lord Jesus almost every day, as the Lord will remind me to do it. I ask the blood of Jesus to cover, as it was a covering for the Israelites in Exodus 12, when the Lord passed through Egypt and killed every firstborn of man and animal, the blood that was on the posts and the lintel of every Israelite's house became a protection and a covering. And it is to us an illustration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood upon us, upon our family, upon our dwellings, upon our properties. There is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus. That absolute, unlimited power of the blood. Hindi ko alam kung ginagamit natin ito, kung kinu-quote natin, ini-invoke natin ang dugo ng Panginoong Jesucristo sa ating buhay. It only not justifies, it not only brings peace, it not only reconciles, but it also protects us, the blood of Jesus Christ. And secondly, the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. The word of our testimony will be like a weapon of warfare if we know how to use our testimony right. Notice the word of their testimony. This meaning, triumphant Christians spoke verbally. They spoke it. They said it without shame or fear, but with faith, with conviction. That's what they did. And that's what we should be doing, without apology, to be known as a Christian without shame or fear, but with faith. It's easy to be a Christian in a gathering like this. It's difficult, you know, sometimes to make others know that we are Christians in an environment that is hostile and anti-God. Mahirap. Minsan tayo ay mapakilalang tayo ay Kristiyano. Ngunit gawin natin. Kahit sa simpleng pananalangin lang sa ating pagkain, samantayang naroon sa ating opisina, sa mall, sa lahat ng lugar. Sa simpleng pagyukod at pagtikit at pagbibigay galang sa Panginoon at pagpapasalamat sa ating pagkain. Yan po isang patotoo na para sa Panginoon. And so the examples you by experience, the facts about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they testified of what they knew. Even though they were severely threatened, and later on were imprisoned because of that, they were steadfast in their testimony. Acts 4 verse 16:20, kahit pa sila ay matinding binabalaan at na kulong na nga po, hindi sila tumigil na mag-testify. In Acts 4 and verse 16, yung Sanhedrin nagsabi ng ganito, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." This was about, you know, the lame man, crippled man, that was healed by the Lord through Peter and John. Hindi natin maitatanggi, sabi nila, na isang himalang nangyari. Verse 17, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, that has severely threatened them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Despite the threatenings, kahit na sila ay binalaan, kahit na merong impending na pwedeng physical harm na mangyari sa kanila, sila ay hindi naumig. Sila ay nagsalita. Tama ba sa mata ng Diyos na kami ay hindi magsalita? Hatulan ninyo. Yung ano'y saganang amin, magsasalita kami kung ano yung aming nakita at aming narinig. Later, they were arrested and they were put into prison. But at night, the angel of the Lord came and delivered them. Imagine that. How is it? You know, pag ito'y nakakulong, tapos biglanda natin ang hell ng Panginoon, tapos ilalabas ka. You knew right then and there that you are in the will of God. You knew it. That you are in the will of God because He sent His angel to free you. In Acts 5 and 17, "Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And then they boldly testified before the Sanhedrin. Later on, you know, nang sila ay makita muli ng Sanhedrin, when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. We cannot but testify of God's goodness, of this Jesus Christ that hung on the cross, that you murdered, that you killed. We cannot but testify of who He is. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. In verse 30 of Acts chapter 5, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." When they heard it, they were furious and plotted to kill them. You know, there will always be anti-God, anti-gospel, anti-Christs. There will always be those. There will always be enemies of the gospel. Kahit gaano tayo katahimik mabuhay at maging mapayapang mga kapitbahay at mabuting tao, meron lagi na aaway, meron lagi sasalungat, meron lagi magsasabi, hindi totoo yan. It's their word against our word. It's our God against their God. Letter G, small. It's always been that way. But God has given us the responsibility and the duty to speak for Him, to testify for Him, to tell the testimony of our life in Christ. The work of the enemy is to discourage us and silence our testimony. Yun po ang kanyang trabaho. He does this through doubt, through fear, through intimidation. He makes us weary and worried when in times of adversities. But, and yet, when we faithfully witness for Jesus with our lips and life, it is He that is silenced and defeated. The enemy is defeated and silenced if we keep steadfast the testimony of the Lord. Kung tayo ay patuloy na maninindigan sa salita ng Lord at sasabihin ang kanyang ginagawa sa ating buhay. The old adage concerning team sports holds here. What is that old adage? The best defense is offense. The best defense is offense. When we actively testify for Jesus, we put the devil in the defensive posture. Pag tayo nagpapatotoo, pagka po tayo nag-ebanghelyo, at sinasabi natin sa taong ginawa sa ating buhay, we put the enemy on a defensive stance. We are on the offense. When we actively testify for Jesus, we put Him on that posture. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 80 at the end of that verse, He said, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against her." The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. This is the picture of the church in an offensive and the powers of the enemy breaking down through her battering blows. Imagine ang isang castle na mayroong malaking gate at makapal iyon. And imagine an army outside with a battering ram. Meron po silang poste o meron silang log na malaki na kanilang sabay-sabay po na kanilang binabayo yung pintuan. Tawag po rito yung battering ram. Meron pang courting ram. Meron courting tupa doon sa dulo niya. At yun ang kanilang binapambayo. Until finally, the gate will collapse. I'm sure you've seen this in medieval movies. No? And so that's what it means there. The gates of hell will not prevail because the church of Jesus Christ is on the offensive. Let's take a posture. Let's take the stance of being on the offensive. Let's not take the stance of firing the blows of the enemy. Sangga tayo ng sangga sa kaaway. Hayaan natin siyang sumangga sa atin. But we testify for the Lord Jesus. The gates of hell will not hold against the relentless onslaught of God's people's prayers, testimonies, and good works. When we pray, we rattle the enemy. That is the most powerful weapon that we can ever have, along with the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and faith, prayers, testimonies, good works. The enemy does not know what to do. Satan's constant aim is to neutralize or deactivate us. Pag tayo po ay hindi umaten ng gathering, no, ng mga prayer meetings, hindi tayo nag-testify kay Jesus, tayo ay na-deactivate. We are inactive. Tayo po ay inactivity. Wala tayong ginagawa para sa kaharian ng Panginoon. And all that matters to us is ourselves, our future, our children's future, money, money, money. We are deactivated. We are neutralized by the enemy. Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus puts it this way. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's what happens to us when the enemy has neutralized us, deactivated us. We no longer testify of God's goodness. We wear good clothes, accessories, wear new iPads, new cell phones, but never we do testify of God's goodness. We ought to. Now, hindi ko po ito isusumbat sa mga nangihingi ng prayer. But a lot of people ask prayers from us, but particularly for me. Some do come back and say, "Praise God! Salamat! Salamat!" But some prayer, those who ask prayers, never come back to say, "But hindi ako na-offend dahil si Jesus. He healed 10 lepers, only one came back." If that would be the basis, then only 10% come back. Only 10% would come back and give the testimony. So I challenge you today, be mindful of the goodness of God in your life. You come back and then tell Jesus, tell the people about what good thing He has done in your life. When you ask for a prayer, please testify of God's goodness as He answered your prayers. Never give it to yourself. Those young people who ask for prayers, for jobs, for board examinations, we faithfully pray for you. But please testify of God's goodness. Shout it out. Now you have that term, you know, athlete. Shout it out. Diba? Shout out loud yata. Ano yung LOL? Ah, okay. Leon. Kaya mga terms sa ganun. Non-discovering. Sabi ng isang kapatid na kasing tanda ko, bakit nagmumura yung mga bata sa Facebook? Bakit? Bakit nagmumura? Nakalagay doon, lol. Sabi ko, hindi yun ang meaning nun. Ano ang meaning nun? Laugh out loud. Ayun ba yun? Kala ko nagmumura sila. In the generation. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now do man light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on the lampstand so that it gives light to all that are in the house. So para maliwanagan yung mga nasa opisina, mga nasa school, nasa community, hinahayaan natin magliwanag ang ating buhay sa kanila. At kung may pagkakataon, sinasabi ng ating mga labi iyon. Let your light so shine before men. Let your testimonies, let your life shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All right, listen to this. There is no truce with Satan. There is no ceasefire with Satan. Satan does not offer a ceasefire to us. Neither should we. Neither should we. There is no truce. No time of peace with Satan. It's either you attack him or he attacks you. That's what it is. That's our life. You choose. Will you be in the offense or you will be in the defense? It's up to you. Part of Satan's relentless attack against us is to accuse us before God. Imagine this. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, that he attacks us, you know, accuses us before our God. And I can assure you, he also attacks us before man. He discredits us before man. Oh, that's nothing. You know, people would say, oh, that's nothing. Oh, accidental lang yan. Nangyari lang yan. It's coincidental. It's accidental. Nangyari yon. But it's nothing. No. Jesus did it. We were in such impossible situation. And suddenly all things come to place. It is the hand of God. It is the unseen hand of God. It's my Jesus who did this. We ought to come out and say, oh, the Lord did this. He did this for me. Can you imagine? Before the throne of God, day and night, he accuses us. If the devil works 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, if it works that way, why should we not? We should be in constant testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Now listen to the dialogue of God between God and Satan thousands of years ago. There was a conversation that took place between the Lord and Satan. Job chapter 1 and 7, Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" Satan answered, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it." Job 1:8, the Lord again speaking, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" Satan said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." He was accusing Job, an upright man, a just man, a man who shuns evil, who runs away from evil, a perfect man. That's his testimony in Job chapter 1 and verse 1. He accuses him before God. "You smite him. You allow adversities to come this life. See, if he will not curse you." That's his word before our Father. And then, I don't know, the commentary that I consulted was right. He walked in this trial for about 7 years. I am not sure about that. Maybe so, you know. Or even for months. Nobody in the world, nothing recorded in the scripture that compared to the trial that Job went through. It was the most difficult trial of all. That we can read of scriptures when suddenly all of your 10 children lay dead. That all of your properties were gone, one after the other. And your wife comes to you and say, "Curse your God and die." Job could have been the most miserable on the earth. But he chose not to. Sabi niya, "Mabuti ka lang bang tumanggap ng mga bagay na maganda sa Panginoon at nang hindi masasama. Naked, I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will go again from this world." He understood that God was a good God. To the Father in heaven, all that he cares for is for good. Job, in his long trial, held on to the testimony of God. In the midst of severe adversities, he continually said, "God is good. God is good." He held on to that. In Job 23 and verse 10, in the midst of trials, he said, "But he knows the way that I take." That was the song. "When he has tested me," thank God, starting, "I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I followed him. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than any necessary food." A verse from Job comes to me right now where he said, I don't have the reference, "Though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. Patayin niyo man ako," sabi niya ganon, "magtitiwala pa rin ako sa kanya." What was the end of the trial? In Job 42 and verse 12, "Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." And in verse 16 it says, "After this Job lived 140 years, and saw his children and grandchildren 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days, because Job held to the testimony of the goodness of God. And he declared it so. He declared it so. He said it to his 3 friends who accused him of wrongdoing. He said, "No, God is good." He became a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness. The power of our testimony lies here within the tongue. When we say and we declare what the good things that God has done for us, it's up to us. His was the blessing of multiplying material prosperity and the joy of being a great, great grandfather. Kaya yun ang pinag-usapan namin ito. Message din yata ni Sister Linda. Ano ba yung great, great grandfather? Anong conclusion natin? Yung anak ng iyong mga apo. Parang gato. Yung anak ng iyong mga apo. O apo ng iyong mga apo, sorry. Apo ng iyong mga apo. You are a great grandfather kung yung apo mo ay nagkaroon na ng mga apo. And nakita niya yun. Nakita niya yun. What a blessed life. He had a full life. Through the testimony of Job, and this is what matters most. Through the testimony of, this was an epic battle. This was, you know, epic battle of the proportion of which is, you know, boundless. It was proven once and for all that godly men and women will not only serve, will not only worship, will not only follow God because of His tangible blessings, but even in spite of the lack of them. Even in spite of the adversities that will befall them. Even in spite of that, then godly men and women will continue to glorify God. And that silenced the argument between God and Satan. Satan was silenced. No longer will he be able to accuse anyone, any godly man. Smite him and he will curse you. He can no longer go back before the Lord and say those things. Why? Because it was proven in the life of Job once and for all that godly men and women will not only serve the Lord, will not only worship the Lord and follow His ways because they are being blessed of the Lord. But even without those tangible blessings, godly men and women will still do and proclaim that God is good. Come and see and taste that the Lord is good. That should be our testimony. You know, sometimes it's difficult to preach like this. It's even difficult to testify. Some people are afraid to testify, and I've heard this said, because what if the devil comes up to them? If I testify, what if the devil comes back? You know, you really. And that is the intimidation of the enemy. That is the intimidation of the enemy. What I want you to do today is look at your past. Look at the impossible situations, the difficulties that we've been through, the sicknesses that you've been through, the lack of finances that you've been through, impossible situations. And in each and every one of them, God was good. God delivered us. In every situation, the doubts and the fears were there. The nightmare was there. Sleepless nights were there as well. Intimidating us, casting doubts upon our minds. Has God abandoned you? Is God still there? Is it really true that He is good? Is He a loving Father? All of this. The barrage, you know, of the fiery darts of the enemy against us. And we prevailed only by the grace of God. We prevailed only by the grace of God. And it will always be that way. So firstly, our testimony will defeat the enemy. Secondly, our testimony will draw others to Christ, which is the focus of our thrust in this church nowadays. We want our testimony to be told to others because we want them to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful with our testimony. Sometimes in testifying, we unintentionally, you know, lift ourselves up. Naitataas natin ang ating sarili. Hayaan natin si Jesus ang maging bida. Hindi tayo. Hayaan natin. Siya ang ma-exalt at hindi yung ating ginawa. Some believe that Christians need not verbalize their testimony, but should simply live it out in their daily lives. Meron na iniwalang ganun. Kahit naman hindi ako magsalita, makikita nila sa aking buhay. But it is not an either-or proposition. No. Either this or that. No. We need both. Living the gospel message is important. But it is not more important than our verbal testimony. It's not either or. Both are needed. We need to live out the gospel and we need to declare the gospel. It's declaration and demonstration. That should not be a versus. We should not put them, you know, against each other. They come along together. We need both to declare the gospel and to demonstrate the gospel. There's no fight. God Himself has chosen hearing the word as the means of producing the faith in the hearts of people. Kung si mismo ang Panginoon, no, He required someone to preach the gospel so that faith will arise in the hearts of people. If God Himself did that, then we need to speak it out. Romans 10 and 17. And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How would people be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't speak to them the gospel? Some people, they think that we're just good people. No, we're not good people. We're not just good people. We're Christians. We're Christians. But of course, as Christians, you should be good. But not all good people are Christians. There are good people who don't even believe in God. May mga mabuting tao na hindi naniniwalang may Diyos. Gumagawa rin sila ng tama. Hindi dahil sila'y sumasampalataya sa Diyos. Meron din pong mga ganun. The testimony of the Samaritan woman at the well. This Samaritan woman was astounded that Jesus knew a great deal about her. Kilala siya ni Jesus. Alam siya ni Jesus. Go call for your husband. I don't have any husband. Yes, right, you said so. Because you have had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Wow. You know? Talaga pong. She was blew out. She left what was she was doing. She even left, you know, the jar or yung timba. Dala-dala. He rushed him. He went back to the bayo, to the village. And she talked to people and told her testimony. In John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Sometimes city is just a village in the Bible. And he said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. And in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Because of the word of the woman who testified. That's the power of Christian testimony. Someone has to tell the testimony so that people will be drawn to Christ. That's you, that's me. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days more. And many more believed because of his own word. But because of the testimony of this woman, you know, people were drawn to listen to Jesus Christ. And when they heard Jesus himself, they believed. What happened? In verse 41, many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said only, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, our testimony will draw people. They will be given an opportunity to themselves to listen to the gospel. Our testimony enables Jesus to move in the life of other human beings. Jesus is counting on you to tell your story to someone. What is the gospel? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Why are you different? Why aren't you like us? Why don't you drink anymore? Ba't di ka na umiino? Ba't di ka na nagsusugal? Ba't di ka na nambababae? Bakit? It's because of Jesus. Because of Him. And now serve Him. Then we have the testimony of the gathering demoniac. It was a man that was freed from a legion of demons or evil spirits. How many in a legion? What is your name? Jesus said. Gathering demoniac, nobody can contain him. Although they chain him, then he gets himself freed. No, and then people knew who he was. And Jesus coming, crossing the Sea of Galilee, coming upon a city called Gadara or Gadara, chanced upon this man that was having this legion. And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." And when you look at references, how many are there in a legion? You know, because you know the Roman army has a legion of army, you know, like battalion we have, or regiment we have. You know, but a legion is 6,000 strong soldiers. How many? 6,000. And they were all, you know, in the body of that one person. And, you know, the legion recognized Jesus. "Are you going to torment us?" And Jesus just says, "Shut up. Please don't send us to the pit. Send us to the swine, to the pigs." And there were, you know, in the vicinity, 2,000 pigs were there. Whoever was culturing them or doing poultry with them. 2,000, napakarami. Napakarami. Mark 5:18. And when he got into the boat, and he cast out, okay, continue the story. He cast out the legion, and then he commanded them to go to the boat, to the pigs, as requested by the demons themselves. And then they ran down the steep place, and then they were drowned into the sea. And then Jesus was about to go back to the boat, and this man was now sane, and he cleaned up. In verse 18, Mark 5, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you." And Jesus is telling to us today, go home to your family. Go home to your province. Go home to your loved ones and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion. Tell them why you are not the same anymore. Tell your office mate. Tell your classmate. Tell your neighbor. Go ahead. Tell your oikos. Oikos is a household. It's the name, Greek name for household. Jesus wants us to tell our friends and our family about the great things that he has done in our life. And in verse 20, he departed, and that guy, that man that was free from demons, he began to proclaim in Decapolis. Decapolis simply means 10 towns or 10 cities. All that Jesus had done for him and all marvel. Can you put on the map? So we have the map of, you know, Israel. So Gadara, you can see it hopefully. Gadara. So all the print in red, the names in red, these are the 10 cities of Decapolis. The 10 cities. And Gadara was right in the midst. What happened here? If you read the whole story, the owners of the pig, we don't know how many of them, but, you know, they drove Jesus away. They said, "You go back from where you are. We don't like you here. Go away. You are bad news to us. You've ruined our business. You ruined our business. You know, we are bad news to people who don't love the Lord. We are bad news to evil spirits. That's why they attack us. When we proclaim the gospel, we're bad news to them. They don't like us. They don't like hearing the name Jesus. They don't like us preaching to the crowd and saying, love the Lord Jesus, surrender yourselves to God. People who are not of the Lord can only think of economic effects. You know, what if we become Christians? Then we can't do this anymore. We can't sell this anymore. Remember the time in Acts 19? You know, the silversmiths, those who were making the image of Diana, they were losing much business, and they attacked Paul and his company. Dinaluyong nila si Pablo, sinaktan nila ang ilan. Why? Because they're losing their business. We're bad news to people who don't love the Lord. We're bad news to drug dealers. We're bad news to houses of prostitution and gambling. We're bad news to them. They don't like our message. And so sometimes the devil will pour them to attack. But when you look at, read on in Mark's gospel, Jesus came up back. He came back again. Mark 7 and 13. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the midst of the region of Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. What was that place? That exactly, I believe, was the place where he was in Mark chapter 5. That was in the midst of the region of Decapolis. That was almost the same place, to my mind. The midst of Decapolis was Gadara. That's the place. He was there before people kicked him out of the place. He returned back to that place. And when we read on and come to Mark chapter 8, he was still in the place. It says, in those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, this was the place where Jesus was not wanted. He was persona non grata in the place. And yet we find multitudes of people in the place enduring hunger so that they can listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. What made them come to this place? It was, I believe, the testimony of the formerly demoniac. It was because he went out to the 10 cities of Decapolis and he talked about Jesus to them. There was a man who freed me from the legions of demons that were in my body. Now I'm free, and people believed him, and people were ready to listen to what Jesus had to say, because there was one person who was willing to go out of his way and say, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus provides. Can we not say that to people? Even not in presence of the tao. When our friends tell us, I have a problem, that's a golden opportunity for us. That's a golden opportunity for us. Can I pray with you? You may not be believing in prayer. You ask the team that go to PGH. Ask the team that go to PGH. Ask them, has anyone rejected their prayers? Has anyone that come to and say, can I pray for you? Has anyone rejected? I've been there many, many times. Not one that I approached to say a prayer have rejected me. No. They are in need of prayer. They need a miracle. Who would reject a prayer? If a person is in dire need, when his back is up against the wall, when he could not do anything and he needed a miracle, just in time, Jesus would send you and me. Not by accident, but it's God's timing. That opportune moment, we need to seize the moment for Jesus and declare, at least in prayer, that God is good and God offers them something. Our personal testimony is a bridge to the gospel, and its goal is to draw people's attention to the claims of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of our assignments. This one piece of paper, you know, that I hold is my testimony. So please do your assignment. Ako'y naging religyoso ng aking kabataan. Natutunan kong magdasal ng rosary, hindi lumiliban na magsimba, seryoso ako't hindi palakaisigan. Iniisip ko na kailangan ko magpakabait, huwag bigyan ng sama ng loob ang aking mga magulang, pinagmamalaki ko sa aking sarili na hindi ako tulad ng ibang kabataan. How many of you can identify with such a testimony? How many of you have said to your heart, I will never give my parents any problem? How many of you have been a good child? Like myself. You know, I considered myself as a good boy. I never wanted to give my parents any headache. I became very religious. I go to church. I confess to the priest. I take communion. Everything religious. Ayoko lang ng position. Na ako'y 18 taong gulang na. And this is the second part of the testimony. Ako'y nasa kolehiyo, mayroon akong nakilalang isang babae na pareho kami nasa summer job sa isang kumpanya. Siya ay nag-share sa akin ng salita ng Diyos. Story short, na born again ako. Ano nangyari pagkatapos ko ma-born again? Alam kong siya ay pumasok na sa akin buhay, ito yung pangatlong portion, dahil meron akong kaklase noon na masama ang loob ko sa kanya. Sinabihan ako ng Holy Spirit, batiin mo siya. Makipag-ayos ka sa kanya. That's why I knew that I became a new person in Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul gave us a pattern for sharing our testimony sa Acts chapter 26 when he was called upon by King Agrippa and Festus to make his defense. Kung bakit siya dapat hindi makulong. Sapagkat siya po ay sinacharge ng mga religious leaders ng Israel na di umano'y troublemaker at binabago niya ang kautusan ni Caesar. Sa Acts 26 verses 4 to 11, sinabi niya yung tungkol sa kanyang former way of life. Diyan yung tayo magpatotoo, ano yung ginagawa natin nung araw. Pero wag na po natin detalyahin kung paano natin binibilot o sinisinghot yung shabu. Wag na. Simple lang. Tayo po'y drug user. Yung mga graphic na ano, hindi na natin po bagay na sabihin yun. Acts 26 verse 12 to 18, how we became a Christian. Kung paano, isang araw sabi niya, habang sila ay aking hinahanap at patungo ako sa Damasco, sa liwanag ang dumating at ako'y nabuhal at nahulog sa aking kinalulog at nagsalita sa akin, Saulo, Saulo, bakit mo ako inuusig? At so, sinabi niya, paano siya na born again? And finally, ang kanyang buhay, pagkatapos, kung siya'y makakilala sa Lord, sinabi niya rin, three parts ng ating testimony. Pagdating sa evangelism, ang ating former way of life, paano tayo nakakilala kay Kristo, at ganun din, paano, ano ang nangyari pagkatapos sa ating. Bigyan po natin ang panahon ito, mga kapatid. Mamaya, magkikita kita tayo sa Disciple Makers Training. Tatanungin ko na naman kayo kung naisulat na. So it is important that we are able to share our Christian testimony that will serve as a transition to share the good news of salvation. Our testimony is not the gospel. Our testimony is the bridge to the gospel. Pag tayo po ay nakapagsabi ng testimony, it's just a way to transition to the gospel. Finally, our personal testimony will absolutely glorify God. Whatever it is, whatever good thing God has given or done in your life, will absolutely glorify the Lord. Whatever it is, however small it is, kahit na po, yun lang, ay tama-tama, nung pumunta ako doon, tama-tama, dumating na yung bus, muulan pa man din, hindi na ako kinakailangan mabasa. Napakasimpleng testimony, napaka-ordinaryo, and yet, nakaglorify sa Panginoon. I'd like to tell you this, not all who hear our testimony will listen to the gospel. Alam ko, alam niyo nang yan, at alam ko yan. Hindi lahat ng sinasabihan natin ng ating kwento ay ating mababahaginan ng Ebanghelyo. Yet, we need to dutifully say our story, say our testimony. Acts 26 and verse 28, when Paul was making this defense by way of testifying to them what happened to him, then in verse 28 of Acts 26, then Agrippa, King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. He was there at the threshold of faith. He was there and then he stopped. And he stopped Paul. He was getting convicted, but he stepped right there. And Paul's response was, in verse 29, I would to God and not only you, but also all who hear me today, but become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Gusto ko nga lahat po kayo, pero maging katulad sa prayer lang, ang mga tanika lang ito. The message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is still foolishness to many. Marami pa rin po ang hindi tatanggap, pero kailangan pa rin natin sabihin. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Nevertheless, the point being, our testimony will glorify God. absolutely will glorify God. If we say our peace, say our story, say our testimony, it glorifies God. Glorifies God. People are given the opportunity to make a choice for Christ or against Christ. Let's look at the testimony of the blind man from birth. You know, in John chapter 8, Jesus escaped the Jews who were wanting to stone him. And as he was escaping the Jews, you know, that was wanting to stone him, he chanced upon this blind man who was begging. He spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, rubbed it on the man's eyes. So the word of God actually says anointed. Rubbed it on the man's eyes, and he told him to wash his face in a pool of Siloam, and his eyes were healed. That was a good word. Only it was done on a Sabbath. And the religious were on uproar when they learned that there was a healing that took place. In verse 14 now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received this sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and sang. That was his testimony. That man, whoever he was, made clay out of his saliva and then rubbed it on my eyes. And now I say, now I see. And the religious leaders asked him, verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. And he said, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Okay? Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, you know, about his parents, which parents? They asked, is this your son? Who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that he is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or open his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents see, said these things, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. You know, there are Christians like that sometimes. Even after all the what Jesus had done in their life, no, they still cover themselves or hide themselves or conceal themselves. What becomes of me if I say that I am a Christian now? What becomes of me? Ano mangyayari sa akin? Ano ang sasabihin ng tao? Anong klaseng reputasyon? Magkakaroon ako pag malaman nilang ako'y born a Christian na. Natatakot tayo ma-identify. Natatakot kayo. You know what? Kung meron man po sa atin, not din sa ganoong kalagayan ngayon. We need to repent. Kailangan nating magsisi sa bagay na ito. Pagkatapos sa iligtas tayo ng Panginoon, bigyan ng buhay na walang hanggan, lutasin para sa atin na marami nating surulinin. Pagkatapos yun yung pagkakataon na tayo magpapatotoo kung sino si Kristo sa atin, tapos tayo po yung magtatago, kailangan natin magsisi. 85 years old I am today. Was it? Who was that church father who said that? Brother Norman? Was that Ambrose? Who said that 84, 85 years? You know, Polycarp, you know, 85 years. Na po inalagaan, kinalinga, ginawa na mabuti ng Panginoon Jesucristo. Sabi niya, bakit ko naman siya itatanggi sa araw na ito? And it was before his persecutors and, you know, the impending execution by way of being burned. Nandoon. Nandoon yung kamatayan na naghihintay sa kanya. Ready na nilang strike with a match yung apoy. And was given the last chance to recant. Last chance muna, Polycarp. Matanda ka na pa naman. Mag-isip-isip ka. At ang sabi niya po, 85 taon ako. Inaruga, inibig, ginawa na mabuti ng Panginoon sa Kristo ko. Bakit naman sa pagkakataong ito, tatalikuran ko siya. And Polycarp went to the fire. He was burned alive. He was burned alive. Tayo po, hindi naman tayo susunugin ang tao niyo. But natin kay ang Panginoon. Pag natin yan, huwag po natin kahiya. Sabihin natin. So in verse 24, tinawag nila muli yung binata. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. Bigyan mo ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. You know what they mean by that is, tell us what we want to hear. Their definition of give God the glory is, tell us that this man is a farce. Fake ito. False ito. Hindi ito totoo. Yun ang kanila. We know that man is a sinner. But this was the answer of the formerly blind man. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. That was how he gave God the glory. I do not know him, but what he did to me, this. I was blind, now I see. Verse 34. You know, and the religious leader continued to pounce on him. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. His parents, you know, were so fearful of the religious leaders, they did not want to be excommunicated from the synagogue. But this was a man, he knew of the fact that something happened to him, and that his life will no longer be the same as it used to be. He was a changed person. He was already testifying about the Lord Jesus even before he believed. And after he was cast out, Jesus approached him. Jesus showed himself to him. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he looked for him, he found him. He said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. You both seen him, and you hear him now. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And then he worshipped him. Lord, I believed. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Messiah. Do you believe that Jesus saved you? And it's now eternal life awaiting for you in heaven. Do you believe that? And the answer is yes. Are you willing to testify about him? And the answer must still be yes. Because this formerly blind man experienced the love and healing touch of Jesus. He became a witness even before he believed. Yet the self-righteous Pharisees rejected the life-changing testimony and remained in their sin. And they were listening to this conversation in verse 40. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard his words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. They were staying in their pride. Sila na natili sa kanilang kayabangan, kapalaluan. And they were not willing to say, oh, I am in need of a healer. I am in need of I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. Now, because you say you're well, your sin remains in you, and you remain in your sin. We need to testify for the glory of God. Others will not listen. Others will still reject the gospel. But that is not our job. Our job is to testify. Our job, our duty, our calling is to testify for the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us bear witness to what Christ has done to us. Let us never fail to give our testimony at every opportune time. When you are given a chance, go for it. When you're given an opportunity, go for it. Seize the moment. It will be the bridge that will make a way for people to hear the gospel and the saints. Do not minimize the power of personal testimony. Write it down, friends. Write it down. Memorize it. Say it to people. When you are ready, God will use you. God will use you. He will open a way for you to testify. Sometimes even in the most hostile situations, people around you would be unbelievers, not only unbelievers, but hostile to the gospel, yet God will use you. during those times, Jesus would say to us, do not think of what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give it to you at that moment. I believe that the Holy Spirit will be there. But I also believe that we need to be prepared to say. You know, I always imagine what I claim, you know, to have experience from the Lord. That if I am given a 5-minute audience, you know, with a political, or with the president, because, you know, that was, the president was the one that was impressed to me by the Lord. If I'm given a 5-minute audience with him, what will I say? What will I say to the president? What will I say to the mayor? What will I say to the governor? What will I say to that nobleman? What will I say? 5 minutes. Be prepared with your testimony and with your gospel presentation. You must be able to witness. Paul said, now you know that we are in the last of the last days. God may call on us to testify to single individuals. I mean, testify to the crowds, testify to people who are high up in society. But we need to be ready. Be ready to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that is in you. Our testimony will defeat Satan. Our testimony will draw others to Christ. And our testimony will absolutely give glory to God. Let's tell our story. Let's talk about Jesus to them. And let's see what the Lord will do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.